us.
Here, imagine being in the world before Jesus was born. Before that first Christmas. Can you think about that just a minute? Because all our life there's been Christmas.
Amen.
And we've celebrated the birth of Christ. Amen. Imagine if you were Simeon and some of those people we read about, Anna, that were in the temple, Zacharias. Some of those people who were there alive at the time before Jesus came. There hadn't been a Christmas yet. Have you thought about it? That's what the poem was about, the life before Christmas. How were people thinking? And I used the night before Christmas kind of as a motif to set it in. How was life before Jesus was manifested? Have you ever thought about that? Is that you probably don't have imagination like that, that you wonder how was the world back then? And the truth is, the world was pretty much kind of like it is now. People were kind of godless. The people of God had fallen out of covenant. They hadn't done what they were supposed to do. They had been taken into captivity, had been banished out of their land. They came back into their land right before Christ was manifested the first time. You know? And so it was a strange thing. They had been in captivity. They had been under all kinds of dominion of Gentiles. They had failed God over and over.
Amen.
Sound like anybody we know?
Amen.
And yet God's program was still right on target. He didn't miss a stroke. See? So God had promised that Jesus was coming. And the world forgot all about it. He raised up the covenant people in the midst of it. Who we would call Israel. And he let them go get spanked by the Gentiles because they were unfaithful and they didn't do stuff right. They didn't represent him well. You know, kind of like I see some vestiges of that going on in the church today. Where churches kind of put Jesus on the back burner and everything else is more important. And they've bought the lie of materialism and all that stuff. You know, but there were people that were in the midst of all that confusion who loved God.
Yes.
Sound like anybody you know?
Amen.
There were some folk who loved God. They knew they weren't right. They had a brokenness about who they were before a holy God. They knew the government was twisted and whacked and they weren't doing what they're supposed to do. You know, and they knew that there were flaws in the religious system that was in the world. And those people were there, but they loved God and they knew God had promised, I'm going to send a Savior. In fact, he said, I'm coming to save you. I am your Savior. I'm your deliverer. See? And so that's why it's such a significant thing when we look at John 1:1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word. See? All the way in eternity. The Word, that's speaking of Christ, existed. That's what we talked about this morning. Before the world began, he set his love on mankind because he knew mankind would veer off the path, starting with Adam, and they still aren't right. Nobody's on the right track. And they would all go off the track and all be messed up some kind of way with some kind of an effect of sin. But God already knew an eternity past in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God, John 1:1 says. And the Word became flesh. That's what we talk about on Christmas, John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It was not just a spoken word. Word, like music, is invisible.
Amen.
When it's spoken, the Word is invisible. It's filling the room now. You hear it, but you don't see it. It's invisible. It has power, just like music. We talked about that. But the Word is spoken. And God spoke in times past. That's how he created everything, the spoken Word.
Amen.
See? And it says in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him. And without him, there was not made anything that was made. Y'all say, I don't see that on my paper here, Pastor. We're getting there. Give me a minute. So I just want you to see verse 14 in John 1 says, and the Word became flesh. Now we can touch God, the Word. Even though no man has ever seen God at any time, the Bible says. But yet, he inhabited Jesus Christ. You know what? Each one of us in this room, you have a spirit that lives in your body. Really, you are a spirit. God gave you a body to live in. See, and a soul, he attached a soul to your spirit. And when he saves you, he saves your soul. The spirit and the soul have to be in charge of the body for the body to do the right thing. The body is sensual, and because it has feelings and can be touched. The spirit is supernatural because it's inside. It separates from the body upon death. We talk about that. But the fact is, we are an entity, a triune entity, kind of like God. You are body, soul, and spirit. See that? You have a spirit and a soul that live in a body. And the body is decaying, as we say, because of the problem of sin. But the fix was, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So that had to happen in time. God is eternal, so he came into time. I got a song about that too. I'm not going to sing it for you right now. Y'all say, thank you, Jesus. But we'll sing it another day. But he came into time with your destiny in mind. He knew that he had a destiny for us, but he had to come into the flesh in order to redeem us. This message today, and I'm going to try to be as brief as I can, is about the future glory of Christmas. We look at the past. We look back on it in the past, and now it's a historic fact in all our lives, although there was a time when people look forward to Christmas. They look forward to, when is God going to fulfill his word, his promises? You know, people like Moses, Lord, when are you going to do that, redeem your people? You know, you brought us out of Egypt. You brought us into the wilderness. We're heading for the promised land. Is that where we're going to be blessed? They were always looking for that blessing from God. But yet God was waiting for a special time. That time took place, according to our present day calendar, about 2,015 years ago. Messiah was born in Bethlehem of Judea. We've talked about this in the past couple of lessons. In the days of Herod the king, a king who usurped the throne of Israel. Remember, we talked about that a couple of lessons ago. He wasn't supposed to be the king. He wasn't born in the line of David, but he was in charge over the people of God. See, doesn't mean who you have in authority over you is necessarily a godly person. Doesn't mean God has lost control because you have a godless person who is over you in authority. So this is the thing I want you to see. We don't have to worry about what's going on in the government. Why is the government out of whack? Don't let that be your focus. My focus is Christ Jesus and his coming kingdom and the future glory of Christmas. And what Christmas is going to mean a lot more to some people pretty soon when the Lord returns and the King of Kings is enthroned in glory. They're going to say, boy, Christmas is an important thing, that first coming of Christ. A lot of people right now act like it didn't happen. They've turned the whole meaning into something else that has nothing to do with salvation and redemption. Amen. What we used to celebrate is not so much getting a gift. Gifts are nice. We love gifts. They brighten us up around this time of year. It's kind of good to get away from work and school and be able to separate yourself for a time and spend time with family and friends and enjoy some special things that you enjoy around this time of year. That's all beautiful. You know, but when you get to the point that you have forgotten the reason for the season and the fact that that was the first Advent, you know what God's next thing on his calendar is? The second Advent of Christ. Right now, his first Advent is the most famous thing that ever happened in the history of time. God came out of eternity, dawned himself in the body of flesh through the womb of a virgin that he had promised for centuries before he brought the promise to pass. Came forth in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Savior of the world, all by himself. See, came in to do something for me and you that nobody could do for us. Came in to become a ransom for our sin. To pay the bill once and for all. Not just for us who are looking back to the cross and back to Christmas, that first Christmas, but those that were looking forward to that first Christmas. Some of them didn't even understand, as we mentioned last week, that there would be two advents of Christ. He's coming again. When he left after he was crucified on the cross, he said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He was the only one could have told you. because he had been in the Father's house. I left there in glory and came down here to be born in the womb of Mary. At the annunciation of Gabriel, he told her that you shall conceive and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. Matthew 1:23. So God took on flesh. He prepared Eve in the garden so I could do that when I get ready. And he let it roll on for all those years from Adam all the way up until 2,000 years ago. Now this is the time, the right time. She is the right one. She came down through the line of King David. Her and her husband. But I'm not coming through his side because man has nothing to do with this. I'm coming through her side. And both of them are descendants of King David. And they were espoused to be married right at the time. Because God honors marriage. Marriage is the holy union that God honors. And you and I ought to honor it just like he does. It's a special union between a man and a woman. And it produces the fruit of mankind. In this case, it was a special union between God the Father and Mary, who was the one he chose. And back in eternity, he already knew that it would be Mary and it would be at a specific time. And it was not that she in herself was special, other than that she was a woman. And she was of the lineage and the household of King David. And she was born at the time when God decided to come in and separate time by the first advent of Christ. That's what happened. He came in and he separated time. Because now time is divided by Jesus Christ. But I want you to know he prophesied this very well. In other words, he spoke about it and wrote it down in the Word. Here in the prophet Micah, I'm just going to read these today just to deliver this message across to you. Enjoy this if you can. Micah, writing before Israel, basically hundreds of years before they were back in the land in the days of Herod the king, chapter 5, verse number 1. Now gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. That speaks of a time when Jesus will be stricken by the government in power. He is the rod. He was smitten, the judge of Israel, upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem, this is what the prophet says, Ephratah, though thou be little among in Israel, you be, it's as though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me. See that? Someone is coming out of you for me. That's what God the Father says. That is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been from of old, from everlasting. He's coming out of eternity, and he's coming to you, Bethlehem, and he's going to represent me. That's what God says. Speaking about the coming of Messiah and the birthplace of Jesus Christ. We love to talk about old little town of Bethlehem, the place where he was born, the house of bread. That's what the interpretation of Bethlehem. Beth is the house of bread, Lahem in the Greek or the Hebrew, the house of bread. That's why Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Yes. You see, he came to be bread for a thirsty and a hungry soul for that needs to be fed. It says here they won't smite him upon the cheek with the rod. You see that? Then notice what God goes on to say. He's from everlasting, from of old. In other words, he came out of eternity to bless you with salvation. He is the eternal God, wrapped in flesh that was laid in a manger, in a barn, basically, in a stable. Because there was no room for him in the inn, the story says. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. In other words, to after the time of his birth from Mary, that the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Yes. That's the time we live in now. Messiah has been born. He is being preached in all the world right now. Yes. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. That's right. And this child born in Bethlehem is being preached in the world right now, so that as many as believe him. The impetus of God is, I love all of you.
That's right. Amen.
And I gave my son for all of you.
Wow. Thank you.
Doesn't make any difference what color you are, what country you're born in, what ethnic background you come from, how old you are, how young you are. If you're a human being, I sent my son to redeem you. We have the most universal message of anything that calls itself a religion on earth. Why? Because God is no respecter of persons. He wants to save all these people professing all these other things that cannot save them. You and I need to be very plain about that. So that's what we want to do. We want to broadcast to the world, to the ends of the earth, the text says.
That's right.
This good news.
Yeah. Good news.
It's not bad news.
Right.
It's good news.
Amen.
That God has given his son, Jesus Christ, for all of you, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. You have one way to wipe your slate clean. God has provided it, and I get the privilege to preach it. So the first advent of Jesus Christ was well foretold in many Old Testament prophets. We looked at Isaiah, we looked at Jeremiah, today we look at Micah, the prophet. And it was given in lucid detail. The details of his first coming was spoken of with much detail. Like it says here, they smote the judge of Israel upon the cheek with a rod, speaking of him being beaten. Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah spoke of both advents. We've already talked about this in previous lessons. Unto us a child is born.
Yes.
Unto us a son is given. Speaking of his crucifixion on the cross. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. Speaking of his second advent. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All these talk about his deity. The fact that Messiah is God in the flesh. Don't let somebody come with a whole cheap wholesale gospel telling you Jesus is not God. The Bible and the prophets say he is God. God with us. He is God. The child that was born shall be called the Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. And to the reign of his government there shall be no end. It's the eternal kingdom of the Most High God. God the Son will be seated up on the throne. Don't accept a cheap imitation of the truth. The truth is God came in the flesh, dwelt among us, paid our bill himself that we could not pay. In doing that, he combined the will of God, the Spirit of God, along with the will of Christ, who is the Son of God. He was in complete harmony with the Father. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, Lord. They don't know. They're spiritually blind. He said, this day to a thief on the cross who repented, thou shalt be with me in paradise. See, because he knew where he was headed. He knew he was paying the debt for all of our sin. So that first advent of Jesus Christ, even though the prophets had given much detail, spoke of hundreds of different facets of the most important event that has happened thus far in the history of mankind. Christmas is the most important event. That first Christmas in the history of mankind.
Amen.
Don't let somebody sell you out on, you don't have any gifts or you have no toys. Forget that. I got Jesus. I got Jesus. I got the best gift in the universe. I don't need nothing under the tree. My Savior was lifted up on the tree for me. Wounded for my transgressions. Bruised for my iniquities. You know what? If you get a little something, something, that's okay. Nothing wrong with it. But don't let that be the focal point of your mind. This holiday. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, Paul said, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's that privilege we talked about earlier. Let me move along. I love this. So the Old Testament was about Christ and was manifested by the birth of God the Son in human flesh fulfilling and marking the very most important event in the history of mankind, the first Christmas. So even down to the exact place of his birth was foretold by Micah in the text we just read, and how it related to the history of Israel and was flawlessly performed to the T, even though the covenant people were in a state of socio-religious spiritual failure and out of sync with God, even rejecting him until the day of his death as a nation, and yet God still provided the salvation he promised. Israel was a miserable failure to uphold the things that God had required for them to do. But God did exactly what he promised, and therefore we can know with utter certainty that our own future in Christ is just as bright as God's word says it will be.
Amen.
You can count on the word. You don't have to look at any physical person. When you calculate how will my future be, my future is going to be so bright I need sunglasses. Because God promised it. And the whole world can't change it. He promised that he wants you to have that joy in your soul. I don't have anything to worry about. You know, we have a tendency to worry about stuff. To go about cumbered about and worried about stuff. You know, but God loves you. That ought to be the thing in the front of your mind. I can't think about this junk back here. Because I know God loves me. He got my back. He said, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so we need to land right there. Now this next passage, it seems a little strange probably for a Christmas message. But it tells the story, so I wanted us to go here just for a minute. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. This is in what we call a section of the scriptures that are pastoral epistles. Letters written to govern how pastors minister in the church. What it says is, these things write I unto thee, Paul writing to Timothy, hoping to come unto thee shortly. He's incarcerated and he writes Timothy. But if I tarry long, even if I don't show up, Timothy, that's why I wrote you this letter, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. That's the house of God. This is where God dwells in his people. The church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth.
Yes.
Our purpose is that we tell the truth.
Amen.
We speak what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
We speak it not just to our people, but we broadcast it to the multitudes.
Right.
We want everybody to know what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
We hold up the scriptures high.
Yes.
And say, this is what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And we preach it without apology. If it's politically incorrect, shame on you. That's something you created. God said preach it. And we're going to preach it whether you like it or not. Instant, in season, and out of season. And notice what he goes on to say. Without controversy, this is the part I want you to zoom in on. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's when he first came. That first advent. Justified in the spirit. Seen of angels. Preached unto the Gentiles. See that? Believed on in the world. And received up into glory.
That's right.
Woo! He came in. His mission was not hindered. Even though he was crucified.
Yes.
You think, why? Boy, that looked like it could have been a hindrance. No, he knew exactly what was going to happen. He was going to go from Christmas to the cross.
Wow.
I'm taking all the sin with me when I go.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to show you what happens after 3 days. I'm coming up out the grave. So you can know death is not even a problem for you. Why do we worry so much about death? I see so many people broken. I got to preach a funeral Wednesday. A friend of mine at work, he lost his mom. And I know Deacon Perry just lost his sister. We just lost our sister. I lost my older sister last year. People been talking, my brother Adams told me about a nephew. Why do we let death trip us up the way we do? And we know we have the victory. We have the victory.
Yes, we do.
If this is my last sermon, I have the victory.
Amen.
Doesn't make any difference. Death can't change it. Can't change it. Why? Because Christ already defeated it. He got up out of the grave with all power. Matthew 28:18. All power is given to me, he said, in heaven and earth. What else can knock you down? Death took you down. You got up out of that.
Right.
Nobody else has ever done that.
Right.
No one in the history of time has ever done that. And stayed where he could now be alive forevermore. Jesus raised some folks out the grave.
Yes, Lord.
He raised Lazarus, waited 4 days.
Yes.
And brought him up. Reverse rigor mortis and everything that was going on with his body.
Yes, he
put his spirit and his soul back in it. And let him live a little while longer. But he got out the grave with all power and all authority. So why do we worry? That's the question I want to ask. I don't want you to worry this Christmas. If your loved ones are saved, you really have reason to rejoice.
Amen.
Death is not the end of anything. It's the beginning of future glory.
Amen.
See, when you know what? We talked about in the earlier message, and I'm almost done. We said that basically when you transition, if you're saved, you exhale that last breath on earth and inhale the next one, looking at the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In glory. See, you go immediately, absent from the body, present with the Lord, spontaneously.
Yes.
See, so that's the reason why we should rejoice. So God is right on target, and that's why the Bible should be your mainstay.
Amen.
So just as sure as Jesus came and was crucified and yet prevailed, even over death and the grave, we must be sure that our futures, just as even our loved ones who have also trusted in Christ Jesus, are secure even now. We don't have to worry about them. If they're saved, that we too can live in the present, in the comfort of the knowledge of absolute victory in Christ Jesus, and have certain trust that our futures as well, basically, are secure. God has secured your future. So you don't have to worry about it. You ought to have every reason to rejoice.
Yeah.
Letting the gospel of the kingdom be our impetus for all implications of every promise that God has made. You know, the gospel is the reason why. God loves people. You know, sometimes we don't pass that test. There's some folks you probably have on your hate list. You ought to pray about it.
Yeah.
Pray about it.
Amen.
You know, some folks, I'd rather not be around them. You know,
so
you have those folks over there in that category. They ought to be on top of your prayer list.
All right.
God loves them. You go, oh boy, there's no way. This one here, they're too far gone. Well, don't be that judge.
All right.
Trust God. If he got a hold of me, he can get a hold of anybody.
Yeah. Right.
So if you're here today, I want you to know that you're the future glory of Christ revealed to all the world. You know what? Everybody will know that Jesus is Lord before it's all done.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make any difference what they believe, what they've been teaching.
Yes.
You know, because the Bible says that every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
To the glory of God the Father.
Yeah.
That day is coming.
Yeah.
You know, every knee will bow.
Every
tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Satan gonna bow his knee.
Amen.
There was a time Jesus had fasted in the wilderness. You remember reading it in Matthew chapter 4?
Yeah.
The devil came to him and said, if you bow down and worship me, at one point along his narrative, then I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus looked at him and said, you a fool? That's my translation.
Right.
He said, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yes.
Because it is written that you shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt you serve. You know what else it says? Jesus knew that at some point you are going to bow your knee to me.
You're
going to bow to you? Are you
kidding me?
No. You're going to bow to me.
Mm-hmm.
Satan and all your hosts.
Every knee
is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See? So it's coming. And we always ask people, do it now. That's the best thing you can do. Bow the knee now. Let God know I love you. I want this relationship that you want with me. You gave your son to make it possible so I don't have to worry about anything.
Thank you, Lord.
So I want to reciprocate. How can you use me, Lord? That's what we should be saying. You know, that's what happened to Saul of Tarsus. Remember that on the road to Damascus?
Mm-hmm.
He said, who are you, Lord? When he was on the face in the dust on the Damascus road.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, that you've been persecuting Saul.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for you to kick against the goads, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Lord, what would you have me to do? First thing he wanted to know is, how can I serve you? That's the way you ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How can I serve you, Lord? What do you want me to do? You know, if we're a willing vessel, God will show you what he wants you to do.
Amen.
He can use every single one.
Amen.
Onesimus was a runaway slave. He used him. He used Saul, a hateful Pharisee, and used him to write most of the New Testament. Think about it. No matter what kind of a basket case you might be, Isaiah came, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst. He confessed everybody else's sin. Of a people of unclean lips. God purged him and said, he said, who shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. So it doesn't make a difference what you've done. Your slate is clean if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God says in Micah later, the same book, chapter 7, verse 19, that he has cast our sins into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered anymore. God has put your sin out of his mind by faith in his grace. So if you trust Christ, God doesn't see your sin. So why are you worried about it? Get rid of it the best you can. That'll clear your conscience. And he'll help you get rid of it. I can tell you that. He's the only one that can help you get rid of it. To get the guilt out of your mind. That's what salvation does, is it frees you from guilt.
Man.
Guilt is why we're depressed a lot of times. And you go to the doctor, right? You need some chemicals. Let me give you some dope to get your mind off of it. And that makes it worse. Don't get dope. Get on your face. Get right with God. Say, thank you, Lord. I just appreciate that you have given your son. This was the whole secret thing. It was done in the public.
That's right.
Right down Main Street in Jerusalem. In the open, just outside the gates, on Golgotha, the place of the skull, hung up the Son of God, lifted him up high. God turned the sun off to black the scene because it was so ugly, what they did to his son. But he did it for you. That's the thing I want you to know. He did it for you. So you don't have to worry about, is my sin forgiven? This is how much God wanted to forgive your sin. He gave his son. Put your debt on him. When he went in the grave, he took away your penalty. Got up out the grave to show you I did the job, did it right. It's done entirely. And I did this to give you complete freedom in mind. So you know there's nothing against you. God loves you. That was the greatest display of God's love. It was also the greatest display of man's sin. You so awful you would crucify God. That's how bad you are. Misjudge me and crucify me. And I'm the one created the whole thing. That shows how ugly man is, but it also shows you how brilliant and wise God is.
Yes.
You did your worst, but I did my best for you. So whoever believes in me, I got your back. And it amazes me how people's pride stopped them from believing. Oh no, I've got to go and do all this stuff here before God will accept me. Well, all your junk is contaminated, every bit of it. You can't do anything to satisfy a holy God.
No.
You don't need to. That's the whole sad part. Put your works away. It doesn't mean God wants you doing bad stuff. No, he doesn't. Once you get your mind free, guess what's going to happen? Even the Parliament Funkadelic knew this. They wrote an album, and I'm not going to quote the whole thing. He said, but free your mind. Y'all know the other part. Free your mind. Amen. So if you're here today and you want to be saved, we want to give you that opportunity. We do have some presentations that we want to do right after this. But if you're here today, let us all stand. And you have not asked Christ to be your Savior, do it right now. I promise you, it'll be the very best thing you ever did. Let's pray. Eternal God, we praise you. We bless you. We exalt your name today, God. We thank you for the salvation that you have provided through your Son, Jesus Christ. The Savior of the world, God the Son in human flesh, who you allowed to be crucified on the cross. You allowed him to hang there from the sixth to the ninth hour to fulfill every precept of your word. And then you allowed him to speak his life out of his body, saying, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he gave up the ghost in order to cover us for all our sin. And then you allowed him to be laid in the grave for 3 days and nights, according to the scriptures. But early on the third day morning, he got up with all power in his hands. He did it for me, Lord, so that my sins can be forgiven. and to prove that death has been swallowed up in victory. And so we believe it right now, God. Let our spirits, oh God, be free from guilt, Lord, that we might pursue righteousness with a whole heart. Oh God, we bless you, we praise you for everyone being saved under the sound of my voice. Right now, God, we ask you to bless every home and family. We ask it in the name of your Son, the risen one, Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's in his name that we pray. And the whole church said together, amen. 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 Give God a hand praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And now we're going to take some time, if you'd like to be a member.